Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is in no position to point fingers at what another country is like. This is not the time.
Yeah, that was the part that broke my heart the most. And I say that being the daughter of an immigrant too. You know, where she said, I know in the U.S. there's a women's empowerment movement, but in my home country, it's still far behind. Women get dragged through the mud if your name is associated with any type of sexual scandal. Women are the ones whose fingers get pointed at them. I don't want to go through the victimization process again. I don't want other people to blame me. And she's not even in the industry anymore, okay? Like, she's not even in the industry. So, yeah, my heart goes out to that because every woman has a story that they can tell. And I will say it again. I have been lucky. But I cannot imagine trying to learn how to rebuff in a way that is professional or like savvy or skillful when you don't know the culture. And that is your basis. Okay? It's tiring.
You told the story.
It's just tiring.
You told the story about Tommy Lasorda fondling your hair in the press box, and even that is like, oh yeah, you know, crazy old man kind of thing. But that's actionable.
Fondling is a really, really strong word for something.
Well, how would you describe it?
It was a joke.
Okay, still, but
that's
still.
My point. Is like, that's my point though. Is like, it's just him being ridiculous and like, I don't take any mind to it. And it's a much more consensual environment where there's people around. This is not that. This is a totally different issue.
This is very far from that. But my point is that was a transgression. You know, Tommy Lasorda doing that's actionable. You have immediate grounds for recompense in that regard. And it's for a lot of women, it's all a matter of what you're willing to put up with. That is, at some point, if you think that this is going to be difficult for you or someone's going to point the finger at you. And that's something as small as that. I'm just pointing out as something that you offered, and that my first thought was, wow, like if that has to be dismissed as a nothing. Because that's up to you to decide that fact, and that's, you know, you've got agency in that regard. But just the number of little things that actually happen to create some of this level of discomfort, let alone when we overlay the national cultural aspect.
Right. Well, I mean, I also hug people too, you know, and that's not something you usually see two men do in a reporting situation. So it's. There are different levels of it. And I had talked to Tommy many times. But the point is, that's fine because it's a relationship that's built there and it's established. This is the complete opposite of that. Like, this poor woman, according to the Jeff Passan story, 62 texts, and then you decide, if somebody put it in our text line pretty appropriately to send a Hail Mary picture?
But unanswered.
Like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking?
After three texts unanswered, maybe you get the point. You send 62 and 17 pictures. Like, the obsessiveness, the aggression and obsessiveness is what really weighs heavily. Let me read you three paragraphs that I think deserve further scrutiny here. She considered alerting the Cubs, but said she was concerned about possible repercussions. That summer, she said she developed a serious sleeping problem and was racked with anxiety about whether she'd made the wrong decision in coming to the U.S. Eventually, the woman said she told her bosses, who referred her to a lawyer and connected her with a Cubs employee from her home country. So again, this is her bosses connecting her with a Cubs employee. The woman and the employee met during the 2016 postseason in Chicago. The woman did not want to identify the employee publicly because she feared retribution. The employee, she said, told her Porter wanted to apologize in person. She said she didn't want to see him. The employee, she said, encouraged her to use the situation to her advantage. She said he pressed her numerous times on whether she planned to file a lawsuit against Porter. Remember, this is a Cubs employee who's doing this in Chicago. In an interview on Monday, the employee confirmed he knows Porter and the woman and that he had discussed the situation with both. When asked by ESPN if he told the woman to use the situation to her advantage, the employee said, "I was just listening to both. I didn't want to ruin anything. I didn't want to be on one side." This is just alarm bell after alarm bell after alarm bell, as far as I'm concerned. Your organization...
Yeah, she told her bosses.
Right.
She told her bosses.
In this other country, where we know, like, if this happens in this country, it, depending on if it's a publicly traded company or not, there has to be a response. If you tell your HR department, you have certain legal protections where your employer is there to protect you pursuant to the law. Now, I don't know if her employer based in another country has those the same built-in responsibilities. Secondly, on the Cubs level, if this Cubs employee in Chicago, who is meeting with her face-to-face in Chicago, I know the Cubs are not publicly traded, but I don't know what is in their bylaws or their supposed culture or what is pursuant to MLB that says this must be reported upward. You're not allowed to say we didn't know about it because there has to be some sort of mandatory disclosure. Like, I know for our company, we take these tutorials all the time that say if you see something like this, you must tell your immediate superior, your manager, or you must inform human resources that you're aware of something like this going on, or you yourself are going to be at fault, in trouble, and you could lose your job.
But you're also acting like the laws are going to protect you. And this woman is saying this is the culture. She's saying this is what happens to people when this stuff happens, if it gets out. So whatever laws in print might be there, people actually would have to abide by those. And that's nobody abided by any rules to get to that point now, did they?
Correct. But my issue is it has nothing to do with her in that regard. It is, what did the Cubs have in place? What mechanisms did or do the Cubs have in place for a situation like that? Do they say internally, if you get any wind of something like this going on with anybody in this organization, you come to me with it, or you come to this person with it, or you come to your immediate superior, or you go to this department, or you're going to be in trouble for not disclosing it? That this idea, where he said, I didn't want to take sides, I didn't want to ruin anything. I can understand in the midst of the fervor of the 2016 playoffs, it's during the postseason, but you don't want to take sides. What sides? That to me is really troubling. That this was someone defined as a Cubs employee, not a subcontractor, not a consultant, it doesn't sound like a game day worker kind of thing. I would love to know what rules are or were in place. And I have to say that there have been, I do know of other situations, and I have spoken to people where there have been questions about certain behaviors, and I know that the Cubs have notably responded and have been on top of it and have done a lot of right things, even going above and beyond to ask questions of, say, of somebody who could have known, or there's any big business who's employing thousands of people potentially interacting with thousands of people has these things happen. And I do know of other situations where they have done the right thing. So I'd love to know how the people at the top of the organization, how Jed or Theo or anybody else, what they would have wanted to know that never got to them. If it didn't.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is we're making a lot of assumptions here, but I'm also going to say we don't know how, in what vein the conversation was set up. We don't know if it was a boss who knew the person there. Maybe it was trying to be friendly. Maybe it was trying to be helpful. Again, we don't know the basis of how that connection between her supervisors and the Cubs employee were set up. And maybe the Cubs employee didn't have enough influence himself to know what to do. And it was confirmed that it was a man, at least in the interview or in the article. So, mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are afraid to speak up on many, many levels. And they don't know what to do because it's above their pay grade. I'm not making excuses here. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying there's a lot of people in a lot of positions who don't have power and they don't know what to do legitimately.
And this is one of those times where an organization, even after the fact, even if the Cubs can say, well, this was a long time ago, or these people have all moved on, there's an opportunity here to go harder to be on the right side of the very things that you just mentioned. And when we come back, there are some people weighing in on the text line with some information about some of these businesses and independent businesses and about what the expectations are and why. But this it's a serious story that opens a lot of questions about what the Cubs knew was going on or had a responsibility to know what was going on back in 2016. And that is the story of Jared Porter, the former Mets general manager who was fired just this morning because of behavior that occurred when he was a member of the Chicago Cubs front office. We're talking about it. We're Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate it. Just quickly, a few thank yous. I want to thank Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson for selecting me for this position, for having the trust to put me in a role like this. Couldn't be more excited about it.
Grand opening, grand closing.
That's Jared Porter when he was named Mets general manager. This morning he was named no longer Mets general manager thanks to his behavior when a member of the Chicago Cubs front office, because of a very well-reported and detailed story at ESPN.com, Mina Kimes and Jeff Passan doing the work on that. And I can only, you know, you describe yourself as generally lucky for someone who's been in the business for what, 20 years now, was as long as you have, the number of places you've been, the number of markets you've been in. But I can't imagine how common this actually is. For every time it actually is exposed, no pun intended, that just how many people say, oh sure, you want to see my phone sometime, you want to see what I've saved, you want to see what I've received, that I know that there are a lot of people in this and maybe a lot of other industries that just don't want to admit how common it is.
Here's the funny part is people always assume it's like athletes or people in the front office or something like that would be inappropriate. But a lot of times it's viewers, listeners, and like people in the industry also. Like at least there's a line, but it's not. This isn't about me, and like I said, it's a tiring story to have to read.
I imagine. And that's why I'm hung up. It's incredibly sad because of the human aspect of this and what one person's perversity did to just wreck somebody's career who didn't have the corporate support or the cultural support to feel empowered to do anything about it. That's immensely sad. But also just on the procedural side, just those paragraphs about a Cubs employee intervening and then asking weird, intimidating questions. Oh, are you going to file a lawsuit? Are you going to file a lawsuit? You know, some of that stuff, like that sounds like you're trying to protect the Cubs. And you don't want to think that this person was deputized to go in there and find out some of this inside information and apply that pressure. But there are texters who are weighing in with some of what they have for their companies. And the 773 texter says, under Illinois law, the Cubs were not in compliance with mandated procedure. 773 says, under Illinois harassment law, they must report any and all incidents with no exceptions. He says, I took a tutorial training course in this. And this is something I didn't really think about, too, from the 563. My small family-owned business has policies in place. This is a requirement of our insurance company. And I hadn't thought about that level of it, that if you do have an insurance policy against, like, some of this liability insurance based on the way your employees act, that the insurance company says, oh, okay, well, we're not going to be exposed for this payout. Therefore, these things must be mandatory pursuant to your insurance policy for liability. So that takes away this idea of what the publicly traded aspect would do for companies, you know, like for ours, for example.
Yeah, I just know based on the companies that I've worked for what their individual policies were, and they varied from state to state and from company to company. But all of that aside, it's also sadly just another day. Like, she's out of the business. She felt like she was going to be blamed for this, and she took the avenues that she thought were the best to figure out what to do. And now she's no longer in the industry. And at least there's been some justice served this morning as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, it doesn't make a right. Obviously, he shouldn't be the general manager of the Mets. But
no.
What should the Cubs do today?
Yeah, that's the question, right? We have to figure, the Cubs have to figure that out too. Who knew? I'd start there.
And I don't know the answer. I really don't. I'm asking that question. Maybe if they're talking to some crisis PR people here, maybe it's a statement. Maybe it's a simple statement saying the Cubs are aware or were aware. I mean, I don't know what you should be disclosing about what you did know, about what due diligence you did, about, because this is, if you're a current employee, I think, you at least internally, you want to know what the policies are. You want to know how something like this was able to happen. I think it's reasonable to think that if you're a current Cubs employee, or hell, anybody else affiliated with the team, another member of the media perhaps, or anybody else who does business, what protections are there? What do you know that is not okay for them? I do think that needs to be established, and I think there needs to be sort of the, you know, that publicly forward trust issue of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable based on what was apparently for a long time acceptable. I don't think that's unfair.
Well, once again, and I'm not making an excuse. I just have been in positions where I was very afraid of saying something that I knew was wrong. And it actually is something that I referred to in a Lawrence Holmes podcast. It wasn't on the side of sexual harassment. It was an hours per day issue regarding federal overtime law. And I was making $18,000 a year. And yeah, your company had rules that said that you were supposed to get paid overtime if your boss made you work. But there was no way that I felt like I had any sort of influence to speak up. I'd have been fired. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this person was intimidated. But see it from that side of it, too. That just because rules are in place and you have a system, take the culture piece of it into effect as well. You grew up in a culture that's different. You don't necessarily know. You just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. There's holes in this story that, regarding the organizational piece of it, deserve to be figured out, investigated, and answered. But I don't want to blame the Cubs employee for not doing something if they didn't act upon it because they just were afraid or didn't know because of reasons prior to their employment there. She described the cultural situation.
But the fact that he was able, as this was going on, as there are 62 text messages and 17 photos all unreturned, as this is happening, he had a meteoric rise through baseball and had people vouching
Porter.
For his character. I mean, just, yeah, Porter did. And, you know, Porter, it wasn't directly Cubs to Mets. It was, what, the Diamondbacks? You know, there were, remind me where his other stops were. But at no point did any of this, based on what anybody knew, at no point did this come up or interfere with that rise up to the point where they swung open the doors of the Mets to welcome him to run the baseball side of their organization. So that's why I wonder, had there been any fail safes built in here, how could people have known that maybe this would have been arrested earlier?
Well, it said in the article that in December of 17, ESPN obtained the messages being alerted to their existence by a baseball source, and that they reached out to the woman, interviewed her, and were prepared to report about the allegations, but didn't do so after the woman concluded her career would be harmed if the story emerged. And she's left the industry since.
So that's,
but once again,
the news outlet deciding they can't go with it, and they're doing so to protect her as this guy continues to rise through baseball.
That's what it sounds like.
Porter was with the Red Sox from 04 to 2015, with the Cubs 2015 and 2016, and then with the D-backs 2016 through 2020 before he was hired by the Mets. Yeah, because that puts the news outlet in a really uncomfortable situation too. Because if they know, they've seen it, they've got the paper trail, they've got the photographs, they've got all of it, and there's nothing they can do because they're trying to protect the victim.
Well, or she's trying to protect herself.
Well, that's what I mean. But they're abiding by, like, I wonder what situation an editor would be in there and saying if it's in the best interest of all, if you maybe you're protecting other potential victims by coming forward with it and reporting it and keeping her completely anonymous. It's at some point you get to the journalistic responsibility and the public journalistic responsibility of then saying we're not going to name her, but we have to expose this because other people may be victimized by this guy.
Yeah, or you don't know. Maybe she didn't want to give any quotes or actually legitimize or acknowledge that the story had been true. You know, I mean,
but right, like, or if all the information's coming off of her phone, you're not allowed to use that with her without her
right consent.
Right.
God, which is really what all of this comes down to now, doesn't it?
Right. If maybe after the first one's unreturned, you don't send the other 61. I don't know. We are going to switch the conversation a little bit because that's some heavy stuff. But I have to say, you know, having your perspective on this is something we haven't had in the past, and it's to have that kind of connection, level of information helps us better understand stuff like this. My guess is we're going to learn more as the day goes on, if in fact the Cubs have a statement.
Well, and I just want to say this once again, just like every man is different, so is every woman. I do not speak for an entire group of people who are technically the majority of the people on the planet. I speak for myself, my own personal experiences, and like I said before, you know, I have my own code that I go by. I'm not perfect by any means. You guys hear me mess up every day, but it's just that's my experience. And all I can say is I would have loved to have geeked out over the Joe Musgrove trade or talk about how Tyler Chatwood is no longer a Cub or the fact that we haven't gone over the particulars of John Lester's deal yet. But instead, I'm still tired.
That is Leila Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. When we come back, we're going to talk some basketball with Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago. He covers the Bulls, and the Bulls are kind of fun. And they were kind of fun again last night. They're still a long way away from being meaningful, but man, it's refreshing to get to watch them. We will talk about this Bulls offense. It's really pretty damn good. That and more with Rob Schaefer next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!